Because I'm trying to think, like, what would the Main Street Parade look like if Apple bought Disney? I kind of like the idea of Mickey Mouse with giant, stupid AirPods in his ears. Yes. Just huge, stupid AirPods.
Yes.
But then I think about all the weird things that have happened with Disney. Like, so at one point, Disney owned Miramax. They no longer do. Pulp Fiction was a Miramax film. And I always loved the idea of the Pulp Fiction float riding down the street at Disneyland. So you got, you know, Mickey doing like the Batusi or whatever it was, and Minnie over there doing the twist, and Marcellus Wallace, you know, sort of looking over the whole thing.
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
Kind of like Goofy from here. The happiest podcast on earth. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Friday, the 11th of November, 2022. I'm your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Jeff Butts, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Happy Friday to you.
Yay, Friday.
Second part of today's show, we sort of teased it in the thing before. Two guys who know little about business will trip through one of the biggest business fantasies out there. There's once again talk of Apple buying Disney. And Jeff and I will bash our heads against that very thick, very tall wall in a bit. First, though, there are changes in AirDrop for China that could be going global next year. It's kind of funny because when we heard earlier this week that iOS 16.1.1 was circulating, everybody was like, oh, well, this means, you know, SOS emergency whatever is going to be activated. Which kind of seemed to me like 16.1.1 was going to be too small for that. Although then Apple made an announcement Thursday that makes it sound like it's not even going to be that big of an update. The emergency SOS calling for iPhone 14 and other devices that are capable is coming later this month. Tell people what the big change was. Well, there wasn't really a big change unless you live in China.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The people who use iPhones in China got a new feature that the rest of us don't have. They can now only have AirDrop turned on for non-contacts for 10 minutes at a time.
10 minutes at a time. Now, we don't live in China. Do we know whether this is a thing? Like, can I just go back in every 11 minutes and turn it back on? Or is there like a cool down period or anything like that? Do we have any idea about that?
I don't think anybody has said.
Okay.
But from the reports that we've gotten, it's, you know, the 10 minutes goes up, AirDrop reverts back to contacts only, and you go in and turn it on everybody again.
If you think of it or if you plan to do that. It wasn't even anything that I was really thinking about talking about, except that come Thursday, Bloomberg's Mark Gurman apparently said this is something that's rolling out to everybody in 2023.
Yep.
Now, let's talk about, first of all, why we think it might be happening in China, and then why we think it might or might not be a good idea here.
And that's all we can do is talk about why we think it might have happened in China, because Apple ain't saying.
The two things that I had heard Wednesday night about why it might be was, first of all, there was concern that people who had left AirDrop open for everyone might be receiving erroneous information or bad information. And then the other thing that I heard was that it might be being used for anti-government information and anti-government images in China. And come Thursday, I saw more reports that said this was actually actively being used by people who are not necessarily in line with the Chinese government. It was a way to share information easily without being tracked. And that seems the more likely reason, because all of a sudden there's this 10-minute time limit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was used back during the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong to send out images and messages and files, you know, from the activists, saying we want democracy. And then more recently, when the Chinese president was, they're like every 5 years they decide, they have a council of some sort, and I guess it was at this point that they were deciding whether or not the current president would continue on for another term. And leading up to that, Chinese protesters used AirDrop to send, you know, images of the president, messages about police brutality, just like they did in Hong Kong, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the modern day equivalent of people standing in the square handing out flyers. Only in this particular case, Beijing can't just run them over with tanks.
And you wish that Apple wouldn't be that company that would, you know, say, well, no, we're not going to lock this down. But as Apple has said a million times, they follow the law wherever they do business.
Right.
And so if a Chinese, I was going to say executive, if a member of the Chinese government, a high place member of the Chinese government says, hey, why don't you ratchet that down? I mean, Apple is going to trip over itself to say yes, sir, and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because China is such an outsized portion of Apple's business at this point, both on the consumer side and also obviously on the production side. There were a couple of stories earlier this week about how Apple is far too tied into China, one from the Financial Times, the other one from the New York Times. But ask almost anybody who follows Apple at all, and they will say that Apple is too tied in as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do. And I'm as guilty of it as the next guy, because I've reported frequently on how Apple needs to diversify its supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that it's not just as simple as flipping a light switch.
Right.
And so, you know, Apple is taking steps to reduce its reliance on China,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to take several years for those to have any sizable impact. And in the meantime, they have to fall in line with Chinese laws or risk losing their manufacturing base, quite frankly.
There is also always the chance, and it doesn't seem likely, but I mean, as Apple draws more and more of its production out of China, there is a chance that something in China will give a tiny bit. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but yeah, it's a long time coming either way. I think there was a story in, I don't know how to pronounce it, Die Welt? I can't remember. It's the German publication, though, that said, boy, this is going to take a long time. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's going to take a long time. I mean, it almost sounded like they were saying it's going to take so long, there's almost no point. And that seemed a bit ridiculous. But yeah, that could be me reading into it. Let's really quickly talk about why we're talking about this so much right now. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman came out on Thursday and said that he's heard that this 10-minute time limit for open to everyone in AirDrop is actually going to roll out to everyone around the world come 2023 at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as much as I don't like it, but I understand why Apple might be taking this move. You know, ever since AirDrop came out, it's been used for pranks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's great for legitimate file sharing.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a number of different pranks that you could play on people with AirDrop. And in recent times, folks have just been taking it too far. You know, we had that I believe it was a Southwest Airlines flight that sat on the tarmac, and the captain threatened to cancel the flight because some jackwagon was sending nudes out through AirDrop to everybody who had it turned on.
Yeah, and got all the way up to the we talked about this before because I remember using this term then. Got all the way up to where the pilot and the co-pilot sit, let's say. and the pilot came on the PA and said, "Look, I will turn this plane around." Now, of course, they weren't in the air yet, but he said, "You know, I'll take us back to the gate and nobody gets to go to Cabo." And so then the jerk stopped and they all got to go to Cabo. Yeah, I heard about one. I actually covered this for the checklist this week. An article in some paper in the UK, and I can't remember which paper it was, and I can't remember which country it was, but basically three idiots on a plane AirDropped out the message, "I have a bomb." They got arrested.
Yeah, I think I heard about that too.
Yeah, it's good that they got arrested. I'm glad about that. At the same time, I don't like this. I don't like this. And I'll tell you the biggest reason I don't like this. The whole idea was China was going to be more like us.
Mm-hmm. Did you really think that was going to happen?
No, I didn't really think that was going to happen. My hope would be, though, that we don't get more like China.
Right.
And that's the problem that I'm having, because guess what? There are legitimate reasons that people in China might want to leave their airdrop open all the time. And someday, some way, there could be legitimate reasons here that I want to do that, too.
Yep.
And I'm not a fan of the nanny state. I'm just not a fan of the nanny state. I should learn about airdrop. There are plenty of stories about airdrop. I should learn about it and I should decide. Mm-hmm. I do know about it and I leave airdrop open to everyone because that's fun to me. It's fine. Nothing bad has ever happened to me. Yeah, I know. That's right.
I'm gonna have so much fun the next time I'm in your neck of the woods.
Not only are you not in my contacts, I'm turning airdrop off. All right, I'm probably going to go to contacts only because I just said out loud that I do that. But yeah, that whole thing just makes me, uncomfortable. Now, the one thing I will say is it's Gurman, and, Gurman's got secret peeps, said to know something about something. He's probably right. We haven't heard this officially from Apple, as far as I know, but I don't like it when the river flows both ways.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Hey, we got a crazy story to tell you about in a minute that's not really crazy. Maybe it is crazy. I don't know. We'll decide. There is talk inside Disney that people inside Disney would really like it if Apple would buy Disney. We'll talk more about that in a second. But first, I want to remind you about another show that I do. I mentioned it a moment ago. It's called The Checklist. It is brought to you by SecureMac. What we do is we work to bring security news and know-how to as many people as we can. On checklist number 303, security researchers MISC have raised concerns about App Store data, given the rise of ads across the store. We take a look at, what their concerns are and how concerned we are personally. Plus, the updates that we talked about for iOS, iPadOS, and macOS that came out earlier this week. Oh yeah, we hit those too. Checklist number 303 dropped Thursday, which means it is waiting for you right now. And I would love it if you would check it out. It is The Checklist. It is brought to you by SecureMac. And you can find it online at securemac.com/checklist or wherever you get podcasts. Jeff Butz is with us. He is the managing editor of The Mac Observer online at macobserver.com. So I was reading Philip Elmer DeWitt's Apple 3.0 earlier today, and he has a link to a Twitter feed that I found absolutely fascinating. There's this guy named Joe Belbruno who has worked, I believe it was for The Hollywood Reporter and also for Variety. He is a business reporter and he is an entertainment reporter. And of course, there are plenty of places where those two meet. He had a tweet earlier today that said, Disney is in play. They just don't realize it yet. I'm on an ongoing text thread with three non-C-suite Disney executives who think Apple is going to make an offer. There's a blue light flashing above our stock, tested one. And then he ran a bunch of stuff, including the fact that Apple has, over $200 billion in cash. Disney has a market cap of $161 billion. Their stock is off about 50% over the past 12 months, currently at $88 a share, marking the lowest it's been for the year. Tim Cook has said, we always look and ask ourselves how strategic it is. We never buy just to buy or just for revenue services. I wouldn't rule anything out for the future. We're constantly surveilling the market. Belbruno says this is the perfect time for Tim Cook to do this. He has a ton of cover. His big tech rivals are in chaos, and Hollywood is completely in chaos and losing tons of cash on streaming. So taking your shot now has never been more tantalizing for Apple or Disney. Wall Street traders are also starting to take bets that there will be a takeover attempt. Attention, Hollywood shoppers, there is a blue light special on aisle 4. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so they're not C-suite executives.
Right. I get why they would want it. I get why they would want it. I find it hard to see for a few reasons.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. Are we done then?
No, we can't be.
No, okay. Here's what I was thinking, and this is honestly a large part of the reason that we talked about this today as well, because it's novel, because it's different. Okay. But if you look at it in terms of novelty versus problem solved, It turns out this has actually kind of been a theme for the show all week long, since Wednesday. When Ben Behrman was on Wednesday talking about AR and VR, I was talking myself around and around in circles, and I finally had to stop in the middle of it and say, the problem is I really want to believe. I want to believe that the AR and VR thing is going to happen for Apple sometime soon. To which Ben replied, well, of course you do, because it's boring to keep talking about computers and phones. Because okay. That's all we've got. Now, yeah. I can see a reason that VR and AR actually solve problems for Apple, VR specifically. Because VR gets Apple into a mixed reality headset, which gets developers working on both virtual reality and augmented reality and prepping for the eventual glasses, which we all think are going to come, whether they're going to come next year, as Digitime says, or, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, as Ben seems to indicate. Talked yesterday to Nick DeCorville about foldable technology, and he is all on board with foldable technology. And after we talked for a couple of minutes about why, he said, because it's novel. and that's really the only, he said he thinks he could see reasons that, you know, that there would be good things for photography or video, he thinks. He thinks there would be interesting things for gaming, but he can't name the problem that gets solved by it except for the novelty.
Right.
And the problem that I have is I can't see any problem solved by it either, which now takes us back to Apple buying Disney. It solves problems for Disney.
Yep.
With the exception of building up content for Apple TV Plus or whatever, I mean, because they suddenly then own decades and decades and decades of content. Plus, they got all the Star Wars stuff. They got all the Marvel stuff. I mean, they've got content out the waz. And so that maybe solves a problem for them, except that doesn't seem to be a problem from Apple's standpoint, because they've constantly gone with the whole, yeah, we're making our own content. Apple Originals is practically, you know, their brand for Apple TV Plus. Solves problems for Disney. I can't see what problem it solves for Apple.
I don't think it does. I think it gives Apple a bucket of hurt.
Well, a lot of headaches. Like who at Apple knows how to run a cruise ship or a cruise line or an amusement park for that matter?
Yeah, and you know, an amusement park, that one of their biggest ones is in a state that's just, I mean, it goes completely against what Apple stands for.
Yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about.
I mean, it does. It's
yeah, yeah. It's that is a weird place for literally, physically, geographically. That is a weird place for Disney to be right now.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Also, it's also interesting to see Florida say, "Blank you, I won't do what you tell me." I mean, which, you know, I think, well, that's a whole other thing for a whole other thing. Yeah, it does inherit a lot of headaches. Not the least of which is, if you live anywhere near, well, if you live anywhere near Disneyland, there's more and more displeasure, would be a good way to say it, between Disneyland and the cast members who work at Disneyland. So I think really what Apple wants to do is buy, you know, another round of headaches from labor.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Although they do get, I mean, they get ABC out of the deal, right? I mean, they get ABC, they get ESPN, they get a lot. But I don't think it's anything that they actually, I don't think it solves a problem for them. It solves a problem for the people inside Disney, because there's been talk that people aren't necessarily happy with the current CEO, Bob Chapek. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right or not. He tends to be, for the happiest company on earth, he tends to be a bit business. Which, it is a business.
It is, but
any warmth is because he was outside for a moment, it sounds like.
I read Bill Bruno's Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. I think the most hilarious and yet not hilarious things that he got out of it was one of the Disney executives on the text exchange saying that Bob Chapek may be our Liz Truss.
Yeah, followed by why can't we have a Tim Cook?
Right.
Yeah. It's fun to think about. You know, here's the thing, though. I even think about past acquisitions that Apple has had, and there are a ton of acquisitions about which we know nothing. I know a guy that I've known for years, REX, Ari Weinstein, who now he was working for a company or started a company that Apple bought and turned into Shortcuts for iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. That's a thing that they like took and folded into their operating system. Apple bought PA Semi for $250,000 back in, what, 2007, 2008, I think. And that gave them an N on ARM processors, which, of course, now is what's powering the Mac.
Right.
And it's not a direct line from they bought that and then it's automatically in a Mac. But, I mean, over the course of a number of years, I mean, that did that. Even Beats, even the Beats acquisition, I think it was like $4 billion is what they spent. For that, they got Jimmy Iovine, they got Dr. Dre, and they got a thriving hardware company. I did the math at the time. I want to say it was like people were saying, why were they spending $4 billion on it? Estimates were that Beats was generating $1.5 billion a year at that point. So when they bought it, all they had to do was not screw up Beats for 3.5 to 4 years, and they would make back the acquisition cost.
Mm-hmm.
And they got all the knowledge on the... They got the deals for the streaming music, and they got Jimmy Iovine, and they got all the stuff that was built there, even though Beats Music was teeny tiny at that point. I mean, it all made sense.
Yeah.
I want to love the idea of Apple buying Disney, and I do love the idea of Apple buying Disney because it would be a new, neat thing. I just can't see what problem it solves for Apple.
No.
All right. Well, that was a good way to spend a Friday, at least.
Yeah, why not?
If you have questions or comments that you want to send our way, darn it, we were supposed to do email because we got email. We'll have to do that Monday. We'll make Monday email Monday, you know, if we remember between now and then.
We'll drag out the mailbag.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, if you have a question or comment that you want to send our way, we would certainly love to hear it. Observations@macobserver.com is our email address. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter, as long as there is a Twitter to hit us up on. TMO Daily is our Twitter handle, @TMO Daily. If you want to follow me online, I am @macOSKen on Twitter. You can also visit my website, macOSKen.com. Jeff, I know you want to hear from people all weekend long. Please remind them how they can get in touch with you.
You can email me. You can hit up macobserver.com. You can go to my Twitter account, @Clefmeister, or you can go to @MacObserver on Twitter.
See, what's funny is you said you can email me and then didn't give your email address.
Oh, right. Jeffb@MacObserver.com.
Advertising handled by Backbeat Media. Online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to product reviews, your source for Apple news is macobserver.com.